I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 512, the not necessarily the box office report for the week ending 9/29.
It's becoming 19. The Sony Disney Spider-Man podcast news at this point.
Well, hopefully we're done for a little while.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, but before we get to that, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Store, wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, subscribe so you never miss an episode. It will be delivered to you like magic, as we used to say.
That's right.
In your music rectangle box. But
that's magic's better than Joe creeping in your room to
that
install
is true,
it, though.
Yeah.
So.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Why, oh, most
yes,
people.
It is, yeah. We took a survey.
I think 10 out of 10 would
yes.
agree.
And
survey
yes.
says?
But
the weird thing is we surveyed your wife and she
no,
said,
totally
she said no, just do the magic.
Yeah, no,
like,
that
she's like, I'm stuck. You don't have to.
That plays out. That yeah. seems right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's also weird that we're old enough now that technology is completely churned. Like, nobody has a music rectangle box.
That's true. We've been doing this only for 6 years.
Yeah.
But we've surpassed our old jokes.
It's God. All your phone.
It is. I can't remember if I shared with one of you guys, but Sony is, like, bringing back the Walkman
yeah.
for their, like, the 50th, 40th anniversary, whatever, of the Walkman
sure.
line.
Sure. Oh, hipsters.
I know.
But, I mean, it's a Zune. You know, it's
oh,
a square.
It?
It looks like a Zune. It's by Sony.
Can you put tapes in
but,
it?
No, you can't. I mean, but it's just a old classic, what you would consider an MP3 player, an old iPod, you know, that kind of rectangle size like they all were.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, to think that we used to have separate devices for that because it's been so long.
Right.
Just listen on your phone now. And the fact that they would try to re-release that. Like, I don't know if they're just making 25 and like, ooh, celebrate the water.
Yeah.
But
like
they can't,
Pepsi free.
Yeah, they can't seriously.
If you want a Pepsi, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
They can't think that will be like a successful product in this day and age.
It's like, crazy to think that like the first Walkman that I had was like legitimately a brick. Like it was that
oh,
big.
They were big.
They
yeah.
were huge. Like they didn't have a clip, so you just had to walk with it in your hand.
Yeah. I just remember like having the one that would clip on your belt, but it was so heavy. I think that's why
it was the Costanza
all the kids
wallet
had the pants sagging. It started with the Walkman.
It's the Walkman. It was so big.
Yeah.
You couldn't you had to, you know, pull your pants down.
But it's like at this point, and you can't even be like, oh, well, some kids, they don't have phones. But then you get them an iPod or whatever because they
even the iPod's not.
I don't think they even sell iPods anymore.
iPods are gone.
I think when most people want to give something like that to their kids, they just hand them an old iPhone,
sure.
but they turn off data.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I would do. And
yeah.
Ryan has had old phones of mine to play the apps on. But my point is that if a kid wants an MP3 player, a non-phone, they want an iDevice so they can play the apps.
Right.
They
sure.
don't want a Walkman. They're not just listening
right.
to they're not listening to MP3s in the first place. They're streaming Spotify or Apple Music.
Right.
And they're playing the apps. So it's like, Walkman, what are you going to do with that thing?
I just found an old iPod. I don't even know what gen it is. And I was like, I'm not even bothering. Like, I'm sure it doesn't work. I don't even know what's on it. I have no clue what's on it.
Yeah.
So
I don't think you could use many of the apps. You know, like they.
It's not even an app. It's an iPod. So it's just music.
But iPods turned into You know what I mean? iPods turned into like, they looked like iPhones. They look like iTouches,
yeah. But this is like a third or second generation
iPod. Well, those are awesome. You know, those sell for big money on eBay.
Oh, boy. Because
they hold so much. Seriously.
It's like 162 gig iPod.
Yeah, so the iTouches would be like 8 gig, 16 gig, but the iPods would hold 150, 300, they made 200, they made some really big ones.
Yeah.
And they stopped selling them a while back.
Oh.
And so people, you could download your movies on them and your music, the color, more advanced ones, right?
Yeah.
So they sell for big money because they hold so much.
Well, I got one.
I would try to sell it before it gets too antiquated. Yeah.
So there's iPod stuff for you.
Yeah, there you
Stroll
go.
Down memory lane.
Yeah, I know.
But
5 years ago.
It is weird, like, just how quickly people were like, I don't need to own songs. They're all out there forever.
That's kind of where I am.
They changed the industry, and I remember that was a big battle, but now it's like I don't hear that fight going on anymore. I guess they just kind of accepted that's the way people listen to music.
I feel like the Tool thing was like, they were like the last holdout.
There were a couple, like Seeger came in late.
Yeah, and Tool. Those were the last two that
the
I
Beatles
remember.
Were pretty late. Taylor
were
Swift.
They?
Yeah, the Beatles have been late to every new technological shift.
Hmm.
They were late to CDs. I think they do it purposely. They are purposefully.
The Beatles, though.
Their 8-track is coming out next week. I'm excited for that release. Yeah.
But they, album. I think they, like, one, want to make sure it's a technology that's going to stick around, and that, two, that they want to kind of hit critical mass so they can make a bunch of money at once.
Sure, sure.
And
the monkeys were like, Betamax, video disc, whatever. You just put it out there.
But also, the Beatles have issues for a long time with iTunes because because the Beatles sued Apple
when
they started because the Beatles
when the Beatles started.
He said, you know what, I don't like the cut of your jib, Steve Jobs. I'm going after you right now.
He's like,
baby Steve
I'm
Jobs.
Three.
We know.
But because the Beatles also had a company named Apple.
Ah.
And so when the computer came out, they sued them, and it was a big lawsuit, and they finally reached a settlement, and part of the settlement was, we will let you continue to use the name Apple for your computers just as long as you don't enter the music industry. And they're like, well, yeah, we sell computers.
Why would we ever do that?
Why would we ever want to enter the music industry? So we agree, Beatles, and then iTunes, and all that, and then they were like, what up?
Yeah,
and
right.
And then
right,
they
right.
were
Remember
right.
Us?
Then they were back at it, and so that I think delayed their entry into digital music as well.
Interesting.
So yeah, it was.
But I remember Taylor Swift, like you said, I will never be on streaming. Now all our stuff's on streaming.
Of course it is.
I think she was able to like strong arm them into a better deal, though. You know, she's like, I'm Taylor Swift.
When
like,
you're that's exactly
she makes
right.
a little bit more than maybe the average musician.
When you're
musician,
that level
but,
of a performer,
but she was like, adamant. She's like, I will never release myself.
That's
on
what
streaming.
Maynard said.
Brooks is only on Amazon.
Well, okay.
Chris Gaines is only in the Zune store. Right?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, Garth Brooks. I mean, that's probably the last major holdout that I can think of that is. He's on streaming, but only he has signed an exclusive deal with Amazon. You cannot find him on Spotify.
It's like, if I'm going to do it, you're going to pay me for
it.
Interesting.
Yeah. But Seeger was very late.
Seeger
to the game
was
very late. Because that's just been like in the last 9 months, maybe.
Probably.
And I remember reading a big article about how like Bob Seeger was kind of falling out of the public consciousness because his management was like, no, we don't like streaming. And they were like, dude, that ship has sailed. And people are like they're building all these classic rock playlists on Spotify, and you're on none of them.
And he was a major player,
yeah.
I love that story about Seeger, where he would go on stage, sing a song, walk off stage, take 3 hits off a cigarette, and then take 3 hits off an oxygen machine, and then walk back on stage.
He's lowered all the
the
octaves of the songs. All of them come to. He still sounds great.
Oh yeah, he's
but
got
if
that
you
want awesome rock voice.
If you want to sell concert tickets this day and age,
I don't think he's touring anymore.
He's
doing his last.
I think
tour?
He's still out. It was weird. They were positioning it as his last arena tour.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know if that gives him like he's going to go and
do theaters
like. stripped down acoustic, or he's only going to, maybe he'll do four shows a year, but there'll be big stadium tours that he'll do with like some other big name. I don't know. But
say, speaking of stadium tours, Metallica just canceled theirs.
Oh, did they? I did not see that.
Papa Het had to check back into rehab. Mm.
Gotcha.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, they just canceled their whole Australian tour.
Ah.
Mm. It's weird. Like, you can look at that dude. And, like, there was a moment where I was like, I don't think he's sober anymore. Like,
which one's that?
James Hetfield, the lead singer.
The lead.
Okay. Yeah. Usually it's his hair. Like, when his hair starts to get a little crazy, I'm not kidding. Like, look at, like, if you watch anytime, like, he right before he goes into rehab, he either grows some weird facial hair or his hair gets longer, and you're just like, well, we got about 6 months. But see, I wish him well.
That's why I don't have hair.
That's, see, we never know.
You never know when I'm high on heroin. Ha ha, I've tricked you. So while we're in the middle of shameless plugs, also don't forget our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you can join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers, but you can also become a League of Show Sharer or join the league. You can't become a league. One person does not a league make, but you can join the League of Show Sharers literally by sharing an episode. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Zara Vandercreek, Ralph Tribble, Susan Carlson, Richard Lawson, Travis Tewitt, Gabriel Lugo, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris Sanders, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Tom Comiskey, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Aaron Marlowe, Ron Johnson, and Brad Hyen. So thank you very much for sharing the show. We do greatly appreciate it. So I guess there's all that. I guess we have Spider-Man news to discuss.
We have plenty of news to talk about. Yeah. So I think that's a good place to start, though. So guess who's back?
Of course he's back. Like,
I always felt like it would happen.
Yeah.
I just did not think it would happen this quickly, but I am glad that it did.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we've read the news as Peter Parker and Spider-Man are back in the MCU for at least one more movie.
Yeah.
What happens after that, we don't know, but
I think it all depends on the success of Sony's other properties they're trying to launch. They've obviously have Venom, which made a ton of money despite itself.
Did you see those properties that they want to do? There was like a whole list.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
I was
mean,
just like, I'm a Spider-Man guy, and I don't even know who half these people are.
Yeah, I mean, they're reaching, they're trying to do whatever they can, but depending on Venom 2, and if Spider-Man makes an appearance there, which it's heavily suggested that he will, they're going to start introducing him. And if that becomes a massive success and you have Tom Holland, Spider-Man in that, then Sony might think, well, hey, maybe we don't need these Marvel guys anymore. Now, if those start not making as much money as they expect, then there might be a new deal. I mean, you can always have a new deal. People are like, oh, they're doing one more and then they're done. But it's like, well, they did two and they were done. You know what I mean? This is a new deal. They can always keep.
Yeah. I don't think Marvel wants necessarily a long-term deal for Spider-Man, because of what we talked about, two episodes ago?
Yeah.
Where if someone acquires Sony, then it kills that deal. So, like, why make a 5-picture deal at this point with everybody gobbling up studios for content and the rumors that Apple's looking at Sony so they have content?
Right.
I think that it doesn't behoove them either to have a super long deal, because I think they're hoping someone comes in, buys Sony, and then they're out of it and they just own the character outright.
It's weird because Marvel does have two Spider-Men. You know, you can, the MCU Spider-Man could be Peter Parker, but I don't know. I mean, if Sony was like, you know, that Spider-Verse movie worked, so why don't we just use Miles?
Because they already have something that's making money rather than having to rebuild it.
Miles made money in Spider-Verse.
Yeah, but it made money as a cartoon.
Oh, that's fair.
You know, and so
they'd have to start over.
Yeah. And they've already started from scratch twice.
Right.
Right. And once they did well with the Tobey Maguire one.
Sure.
And until the third one. But they started off strong.
They
did. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then that Amazing Spider-Man was the
first one's fine.
The first one, exactly. The first one was fine.
Fine.
Like, you walked
out.
He
was really good.
You walked out going, good enough, let's see what they do next.
Right.
And then they did next.
They was like, oh.
Yeah, they really crapped the bed.
Yep.
And so, I think they don't want to start over. They already had a hit handed to them and they won it.
Do you think that them starting over without, like, if it's not Peter Parker, it's not as egregious?
I think that's even harder, though. I mean, the thing is that we all know, you know, people that read the comics know Miles, and obviously that Spider-Verse movie really helped. But for the general public, though, I mean, they know Spider-Man as Peter Parker. They've grown up with that for ever. And so I think it's going to be a lot harder for them to just introduce a live action, especially harder than just say, hey, here's Peter Parker. And
right.
you know this guy and he's great and you love him, you know, and then everyone's going to say, but where's Peter Parker? I love Tom Holland. I mean, they're always going to compare.
Yeah, it. Sure, sure. But yeah, that's going to be fun. So we actually will get an ending to, or at least a continuation of the surprise ending at the end of Home or Far From
yeah,
Home.
Now yeah, now it's good again. The problem is that, you know, I mean, you can go listen to that episode, but the spoiler at the end of that, I mean, it was great. But then when they said, well, now he's not in the
like,
MCU,
what happens?
Then it fell apart. That's yeah. just a cute cameo, but it's not as amazing as, well, what's going to happen next.
Right.
And, but you know, what's interesting is it was rumored from all the insiders that Disney wanted a 50% deal. And so apparently the number was really 25%. And the word now is from like Variety and Hollywood Reporter that, Disney's deal was accepted unaltered. So I guess they wanted 25, not 50. So we originally
like
didn't know the number.
Still reasonable.
So what?
I think that's much more reasonable. Yeah. When it was 50, it was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
But they're going to now, the deal is this Disney will finance 25% and they will get 25%, whereas they only got 5% previously.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So, but it also begs the question, if Sony circled back around and accepted the deal unaltered, what changed? Why didn't they just do that in the first place?
I think they wanted the reaction.
Yes.
I think it was like, let's see what happens. They walked away from it. They tried to, you know, they stood up to Disney, which to their credit, I mean, Disney's
yeah.
a big power and they've
yes,
been
they
doing
are.
A lot of stuff that they want.
Mm-hmm.
So they stood up to them. And then I think they saw the fan outrage over, you know, what it
and
would
then,
mean.
I mean, it was weird because it was all attacking Sony. And then after a while, the people were just like,
yeah, and especially
maybe
how they react.
Yeah, I saw a lot of like, I'm tired of Disney getting their way. And then I also see a lot of just like, sorry, I see a lot of weird people on the internet that are just like, all these movies have sucked.
Yeah.
Disney has ruined it. And I'm just like, what?
That's a very specific group of
but
people.
Yeah,
like,
but it's they're vocal enough.
Yeah.
But I agree. Like, it's like people who are all about the Tobey Maguire movies. And I was like, yeah, one and two are solid movies.
One and two are really good movies.
Yeah. Three is a garbage movie.
Yeah.
It's a mess. And
yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 aren't that great. Like, they have a good cast.
Yeah.
But it's that second one's a mess.
The second
one. The second one is the Batman and Robin
yes.
of Spider-Man
it's
movies.
It's nowhere Amazing near as bad as that movie, though.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 is worse than Spider-Man 3.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Without question. Yes.
I like Spider-Man 3 other than that dance number.
Oh,
I mean, I really
there
think
there were too
you
many
can't...
villains. And
yeah. That's the problem.
But
is...
the dance number, I think it was really like the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I think. But what's the one thing everyone says when they say Spider-Man 3?
Dance.
I mean, that's 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when everyone points to one thing that's 5 minutes is ruining the movie, it's like, well, take that aside then. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff to like there.
I've never understood the multiple villains theory. Like
yeah.
it kind of, it works in Batman Returns because Catwoman like walks that line. Like she's not really a villain, but she's also not,
right.
you know, like it gives him a romantic interest as well as like another character. But
I think it's to sell toys.
Yeah.
I think it's greed on the part of the studios that are like more villains in the movie means more toys to sell.
Right.
And I think that they ultimately end up damaging the properties by trying to cram too many villains in the movie.
I agree.
Conversely, now you look at what Marvel's doing and they have like 800 heroes in
yeah.
a movie, like almost literally. But the thing is, too, is that they've built up to that.
Sure.
Right? Where
they earned it.
Yeah. And so when all of a sudden, you know, Black Panther pops up, I know he's not a villain. I just mean multiple characters, multiple
sure.
superhero characters, good or bad in general.
Right.
And but when all of a sudden Black Panther pops up, you don't have to explain who he is. He had this whole other movie that you loved. And now he's here, and that's cool.
And he's already interacted with those people before, so it makes sense for him
right,
to be there now.
Right, but when you see, because they're making these movies like they make TV shows,
mm-hmm.
and so they can have characters pop in and out, and you're up to speed on them. But when, you know, when you're making Batman and Robin, and all of a sudden you want to throw in, you know, Mr. Freeze and
Poison Ivy
and Poison Ivy and Batgirl, and
yeah.
you know, you're throwing all these people in like it's like every scene is introducing and giving you an origin story of a new character.
Oh, man.
It just gets tedious. And
yeah.
the, you know,
Silverstone is Batgirl.
It made sense at the time.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made sense at the time.
Yeah. That's a pretty good segue to Batman. I feel like Jeffrey Wright, could be your Commissioner Gordon, which
apparently
I think,
that's a
which
a,
is dope.
That sounds like a done deal, and that's very exciting.
He's a dude. He's an amazing actor. Never crossed my mind.
Yeah, as soon as the casting was announced on that, and I pictured him, I'm like, yes,
yeah.
Commissioner Gordon, that works 100%. If you've seen Westworld,
oh yeah,
and
yeah.
you see how as Bernard, as he just the way that he carries himself and talks, and it's like, oh my gosh, he could be Commissioner Gordon easily,
easily.
And he's a great actor. He's been in a ton of stuff yeah. over the years, but yeah. people
wasn't he the American like assistant to?
He was in Casino Royale.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What was yeah. that guy's name?
I can't remember.
James Bond.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he was the American.
It's the same character that we've always. It's always the same dude. Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright is great. He's been around forever, but people that watch Westworld will especially be familiar with his work, and I think that's amazing.
It was only a matter of time before, like, we can't be a black man.
Like, oh, well, I haven't heard a ton of that. I've
seen a little of it.
Yeah. They're like, well, then Batgirl's got to be black. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so?
I honestly luckily I've avoided all of that. Now the big question mark is Jonah Hill. So that one is not locked in, but it's reported that he's looking for a lot more money than Robert Pattinson.
So he's gonna pull a
Don Cheadle replaced Terrence
yes,
Howard.
Yes,
and,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
But
Terrence Howard, like, this is my movie.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's not.
So that's the big question mark, is that apparently he'd be playing a villain. We don't know which one. So the easy go-to is Penguin.
I've been hearing the Riddler.
But Riddler is the one that the rumors are really surrounding that role. And so I don't know. I mean, I like Jonah Hill, and I think he can play a villainous character.
I feel like Penguin is too on the nose, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't mind seeing him do the Riddler. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the only Riddler we've had has been Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And the guy on the TV show.
Yeah. But I think Frank Gorshin.
That guy too. But I mean, like,
oh.
But the other guy on
the new show. Okay.
I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Gorshin, right. But I feel like Jim Carrey is doing a Frank Gorshin impression.
There's definitely some of that.
Absolutely. So it's like, it's the same character.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to see what he would do, like what this version of the Riddler would be.
Yeah. You know? So we'll see what happens there. But I mean, yeah, I get that he wants to have his payday too. But
sure.
It's like, to make more than Batman.
Okay. Marlon Brando was the highest paid on that. He made more than Superman.
But I will also say Robert Pattinson probably has a 3-5 picture deal where whatever role Jonah Hill's playing is probably one and done.
Yeah.
How great would it be if he was Harvey Bullock?
Well, that was the...
I'd be like,
well, because they
sure.
said that it's rumored he's going to play a villain, but when I saw that casting, I'm like, oh, well, then, yeah, they probably want him to be Bullock.
I would love for him to be Bullock.
That would make the most sense, and he could be great, and he could be in all the movies and everything, so we'll just have to see what happens there, but the Jeffrey Wright news, definitely
that's
excited
so good.
About.
That's so awesome.
Bouncing back to Marvel real quick, I wanted to talk about Kevin Feige doing a Star Wars movie.
Did they say what Star Wars movie?
No,
or just
they don't
in
know,
general?
But I mean, that's such a smart choice. I mean, they've seen what he's done over with Marvel and they're owned by the same
company.
He's
just producing it.
I don't know. That's what he does.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. But I don't know the details. It didn't go anything into that. If he's
starring Brie Larson. Oh my God. You want to see the internet break?
Yeah.
Like, that would do it.
So, I mean, I think that's a smart move, especially
absolutely.
With the controversy surrounding Star Wars. You already have the Last Jedi backlash and everything there.
Solo backlash.
Rian Johnson getting his own trilogy and all that. So, I mean, pulling a guy that is, you know, loved by all. I mean, Kevin Feige is pretty much universally acclaimed and given, you know, so much of the responsibility for making the MCU successful.
But I wonder how he works when he has to be a cog in a machine rather than the machine.
Oh, I see what you're
but
saying.
If they're hiring Feige, I'm sure he has... This would, I'm sure, not be like a continuation. I feel like this would be Feige creating... He gets to call the shots on whatever this is. I think he's going to be inventing...
I guess it's weird because and I haven't really read the articles, but the headlines have said that he's making a Star Wars movie, not he's taking over control of the Star Wars franchise.
Who's the producer now?
J.J. Abrams is a big producer.
So okay, so here's my question then.
But Kathleen Kennedy is the one that calls, right? She's the Kevin Feige.
Okay, so with J.J. possibly signing this Warner Brothers deal,
Kennedy's leaving. So
then that makes more sense that they would put Feige. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
So if she's leaving, putting Feige in charge of that.
But there's people internally that have been involved with Lucasfilm and under. I mean, I get out from a business decision. They could possibly put Feige if he even wanted to do that. I'm not sure that he does. But there's also other people that have been involved with Star Wars for like 20, 30 right. years, sure, like sure. second in command to Kennedy. And I can't remember the guy's name, but like there's people that have studied under her yeah. and worked with her for years.
You also have to be careful in terms of like, he's not going to be able to do both.
No.
Yeah. Hell, they're not going to take him away. From
so
him.
Yeah. unless he's kind of like,
they're going to bring back Avia Rod.
Unless he's kind of like, I've been doing this for 15 years now and I would like enough. Yeah. Like I want to go do something else. Unless this is their way to keep him in the fold.
Sure.
Like, I
can
just
you not go to Warner Brothers.
I just can't imagine them letting him
or, walk.
I yeah, can see them letting him leave Marvel if Star Wars is what he wants to do, but I can't see them encouraging or that being a decision like right. let's move you over here. And because I mean, that's such a beast.
My guess is that he's going to JJ it. He's going to kick off the next whatever. They're going to have him like, okay, where do we go from here? The
right.
Skywalker saga is over. We have some other things in the works, but like we need someone to make the next big movie that could possibly turn into a trilogy or right. whatever. I think he's going to set it up for them, you know, and then bounce back yeah. to Marvel would be my guess.
My concern is that the Marvel movies are a very different tone
oh, yeah.
than what you want from a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do wonder, can he do it?
I mean, he so far, you know, his track
record. The Marvel movies
are spotless.
Are great. Like, yeah. I'm not disparaging that at all. I just mean that, like, I feel like Star Wars has a very different tone. And what he likes that makes the Marvel movies work isn't necessarily completely transferable to the right. Star Wars properties.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, but if anyone can, I mean, if you're going to give anyone a shot at it,
absolutely.
I think the dude...
you can't argue with the track record.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just speaking of that, I saw a graphic, you know, we talked about the lineup that Marvel has produced as far as directors and creative content. Somebody posted a picture of the new DC, like the new DC lineup. And I was like, oh crap. Like that could, so if it's JJ, you know, as part of it, Matt Reeves, James Gunn, Patty Jenkins. It's just like, oh, that is definitely like a solid creative.
Yeah.
You know, that which could rival Marvel if it's done correctly.
Yeah.
You know, like if you get the right people behind the right stuff.
I think
stuff.
Getting James Gunn in that small period, that yeah. window. I mean, they got lucky.
They had like inches to get yeah. him signed to a deal.
Yeah.
And luckily there was enough time between Marvel like, oh, we messed up. We should yeah. probably sign him.
But
again.
They got lucky and James Gunn got unlucky. That was a really unfortunate situation, but he made the most of it
sure.
and now he's got both. So I think everybody ended up winning in the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, so that's going to be pretty cool. The other thing, I mean, not to spend too much time on, but Joker's out next week.
Yeah.
You know, there's more and more controversy surrounding that. So,
don't you wear a mask to the show?
The controversy started when Joaquin Phoenix didn't know how to answer that one question, which I think is very silly. He wasn't prepared. The PR team failed.
Yeah, what do you? He's weird.
He is weird, but he should have.
That question was coming.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's smart that he walked away because I think he did that because he got nervous. He's like, I don't want to screw this whole thing up.
Sure.
So he. You know, just like we talked about, people freezing, getting nervous, and Ad Astra. I mean, I really think that he did the smart thing, which was to leave, and he talked to the PR team for an hour or whatever, and then came back with an answer.
I did kind of like Todd Phillips' response, where he's just like, it makes sense, though.
Mm.
It does, though.
We could probably spend the next half hour
we could,
arguing
but
that.
I mean, I thought that his
They're
response is
the
like...
same.
Why?
Well, we could spend the next half hour.
But I mean, like, give me like a 2 minute reason.
Because John Wick is killing bad guys and Joker's inspiring crazy people.
That's fair.
Again, we could go really deep into it. So, I mean, and I'm excited for Joker movie, but that defense I don't think was smart. It's like Joker, I think that they made the smartest move they could, which was to just stop talking about this movie.
Yeah, no
kidding. It's out in a week.
It's already got all the press it needs.
Yeah, no interviewing press was allowed at the premiere on Saturday, which again is unfortunate for journalism and media, and I think it is WB's fault for not being prepared. But at this point, with what happened, I think that was smart because the whole, you know, a ton of questions on the red carpet would be back about that question. They didn't want any more of it. And they're like, it comes out in a week. At that point, it's out in 5 days, 4 days, whatever, from the premiere. So it's like, but anyway, so we'll see. Just let this thing come out and let the crazies stay away. And I don't want to hear any. I'm worried about this movie. I told you months ago, I'm like, I'm worried about this movie.
I wonder what it's going to do to the box office.
I think it's going to be huge.
Well, this talk and stuff, I think, is going to be huge. But just please, God, for the people's sake and the movie and everything, just don't let anything bad and crazy happen on this movie. Movies can come out without being censored and without being inspiration for crazy people. It's like,
well, but even when movies aren't inspirations for crazy people, they still draw crazy people. That's, there was somebody shooting up the opening weekend of Amy Schumer's train wreck. What about that would possibly inspire crazy people?
That's my point, is that all these movies come out, and to Joe's point in the discussion around John Wick, it's an ultra-violent movie about a contract killer who's killing people, and then you don't hear any crazy people doing stuff in the name of that. So you don't hear stuff when other things, you know, nothing happens around those movies. But when they do, they attach it. And it's like, well, you're just grasping onto something because you're trying to connect the dots. But all these other things come out and nothing happens. And so there's not a direct correlation. It's an age old discussion. So
it is kind of like it's tough. I just actually rewatched Taxi Driver for just to, you know, get
which
comparison.
People said the same things about Taxi Driver.
I just watched
I can see it.
Well, it did.
It was the guy that shot
Reagan. Like, he was in love with. He was trying to impress Jodie Foster.
Right. Well, okay. So that to me is a little bit different than believing in what Travis Bickle was doing. Like, he was in love with Jodie Foster, the person,
but it was still this movie that. And I'm not saying it's the movie's fault. But I'm just saying. But like, this movie is what made him think that, like, this was a way to go about it. He was trying to, like, recreate the movie, I guess. Yeah. But
I guess it would Travis Bickle is not the, I mean, he's not the hero. He's the bad guy of the movie.
But he's also killing bad guys, right?
Yeah,
he's killing
that's true.
Pimps who are prostituting women, but prostituting children.
Right.
And that's what makes the movie kind of so murky, is that he is a bad guy,
right?
But things work out okay for him.
Luckily, his assassination didn't pan out.
Right.
He wouldn't have been killing bad guys if that worked out.
Right. But, like, he ends up being a hero.
He lucked into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. But, I think the difference with Taxi Driver,
Taxi Driver.
It's Taxi Driver.
Right.
Like,
it's one of the greatest films of all time.
Joker might be a great movie, but it's not going to be Taxi Driver. Right. But even beyond that, Taxi Driver, I don't think, was ever intended to be a huge mainstream box office hit.
That's true.
It became one.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody sits down and greenlights Taxi Driver and says, this movie's going to make $100 million.
Sure.
I don't know what it made for the time. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that was not seen as a tentpole movie. That was seen as an art house picture, and it blew up.
It's so good, too.
Come out the same year as Cruisin'? Was it the same time, or is Cruisin' way earlier?
I don't even know what Cruisin' is.
I think Cruisin' came out a little
later.
Have
you ever seen Cruisin'? Is an Al Pacino,
plays a cop going undercover in the gay community.
Because there's a killer. I like it. It's a horror movie, kind of. Hmm. It's like horror adjacent, but it's really good. But it's filmed in New York, so it has the same feel
that
as
70s gritty New York.
Yeah, just that gross, no offense, New York listeners, but it was gross in the 70s.
Yeah.
It has the same feel as Taxi Driver, and it's crazy good.
Interesting. Okay, I'll check it out. The last bit of news I have is that it looks
Cruising was 80.
And Taxi Driver was,
I think,
77?
Okay.
Yeah, it's right around there.
And it's Al Pacino,
it's
like
late 70s for sure.
In his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say 76 on Taxi Driver.
76, yeah.
The last bit of news I have is it looks like Dwayne The Rock Johnson is making up with Vin Diesel.
No way.
Yeah, so he did a big thing. I wanted to get your guys' opinion. This is what I'm thinking. So Hobbs and Shaw made a ton of money. It made $750 million worldwide, but the Fast and Furious movies make $1.5 billion worldwide at this point.
But what Fast and Furious 1 make?
I'm
just saying, like,
different beast though. I mean, this is coasting on eight films and whatever, but so it made a ton of money, but it's not doing that money, and I think The Rock wants to be a part of the all the biggest movies he can. And so he ends up thanking everybody for the success of Hobbs and Shaw, $750 million worldwide, thanking the fans, thanking the producers, writers, blah, blah, blah. And then he thanks Brother Vin.
Does he really?
And he goes on for like a minute about thanking Vin.
Oh, it's
Vin.
A video?
Yeah, it's a video of him working out. He's got sweat all over him.
Of course he does.
But he thanks Brother Vin and says, thank you for the nice words. Thank you for the nice words about my wedding and whatever. So I think he wants back in the main franchise. But then I'm also questioning, was there ever really, do you think that this was all to get Hobbs and Shaw in the news? And
here's what I will say. The Rock spent the prime of his career
with fake feuds,
with
and,
like building, building feuds, built knowing how to build to a main event, getting to a big show, getting to a big match.
I wonder if this
it
was
is
all...
possible that he took the lead on this and was like, look, if we do this, it's going to lead to something. It could be lead. I think the
Tyree stuff is real. Tyree stuff is real, but the Vin Diesel and Rock.
It could have been.
I think it was all a big WWE promo.
It could have been a work. Yeah. It's very possible that it could have been a work.
Because now, you know, Vin Diesel has been saying nice things about Hobbs and Shaw, congratulating the movie, congratulating the Rock.
I'm just waiting
Rock's
for
now playing nice. It's like,
I'm waiting for
really?
The heel turn. I'm waiting for Vin Diesel to hit Rock in the back with a chair and be like, ah, tricked you.
It's in their best interest. I mean, that controversy for the last 2 years has created nothing but articles, social media, whatever. And now if we get The Rock back in the Fast and Furious franchise, which is already one of the biggest action franchises out there, yeah, the biggest star in the world back into it. Like, it's good for everybody.
Yeah, everybody's going to get a...
I just wonder...
Tyrese is be like, by the way, we're cutting your pay.
Yeah, but yeah, for him,
you get a 1% slice of this pie from now on. You smell what The Rock is cooking.
But yeah, looks like The Rock, he said, The Rock said, Toretto, I'll be seeing you soon. So it sounds like...
All right.
Yeah, so interesting. And, you know, we know Rock does all the PR for his own stuff. And so this all could be orchestrated by the man himself. So
it wouldn't surprise me.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I guess with that behind us, we should probably turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And it looks like the movie of the week is number one, Abominable, with $800 billion. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That Judy Garland movie.
20 points.
I'm serious.
No, you're not. Stop.
Yes, I am. No, I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, I'm like,
he was trying to get us.
We talked about it. Yeah, I'm like,
look
on
Kevin's. I had Kevin for a minute.
I was just like, oh, spell that very clearly. Yeah, so movie, that's on you.
Look at the receipts. Look at the transcripts. But Abominable came in with $20.7 million. It is number one by, I mean, it's a little bit slower time of the year. I expected it to make a little more than that, but we'll get into that one next episode. Do we have a budget on Abominable? That is the question.
It was a Universal...
I mean, those animated movies are not cheap, generally.
This one doesn't look cheap either.
This is DreamWorks, $75 million. So that's the thing. I mean, when you come out to $20 million, and I'm sure overseas it will do good foreign numbers. Animated stuff usually
Well,
does,
it's a Chinese co-production.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
Its cast is almost entirely Asian, which makes sense because the film is set in China. So you should probably have Chinese children
except for
doing the voices of the Chinese children.
And Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
But he's not playing.
No,
it,
it is. Yeah. I didn't realize that Chloe Bennett, who was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Quake, but I didn't realize that like that's not her name. So like I asked Siri, like, you know, who's Chloe Bennett, and they're like, oh, you mean Chloe Lee? And I'm like, who? But I guess that's she's of Asian descent as well, but her name is Bennett. Like I didn't even put it together that's who that was. Initially.
Well, we'll get into that one more and the casting and all that stuff in the next episode, so listen for that. Coming in at number two, Downton Abbey, $14.3 million in week two. Holy cow.
There was a moment where I thought you guys would be like, no, we'll do that. I was like, I got to watch the whole series.
I know.
I've never seen a single episode.
I didn't review it for the radio for that reason. I'm like, I've never seen an episode. Yeah. How am I supposed to review this movie?
And I'm heard it can stand on its own. But yeah, I feel like responsibly when you're reviewing it, like how many things are you going to miss?
Right.
Sure.
Even if you think it's an entertaining movie, you're going to miss so much stuff that you don't understand.
Yeah, like doing the Supernatural movie.
Daunting task, yes.
That'll never happen.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's not a thing.
But $14.3 million in week two, a 54% drop from a big opening for that one. They cannot be disappointed with that. $58.3 million domestic. And you think that one will be released in Europe? Or
probably.
I would think it's already out in Europe.
But the foreign take on that one is about doubled the domestic. It's right now before the weekend totals, it's around 42. So you're talking $90 million on an undisclosed budget.
It couldn't have. I mean... How much would it cost for an episode? And then you just probably raise that by half.
But you got to get a lot of big people back that have not been in it for a while.
Is that a thing?
Well, I mean.
Yeah, but a big payday for these actors is a lot different than a big payday for a for a Vin Diesel.
I mean,
or a Rock,
like getting,
you know what
getting,
I mean?
Getting Benedict Cumberbatch to come back now to do a Sherlock is different than getting him to come back 5 years ago.
Yeah. I don't think it's cheap because you got to get everyone back together. That now, I mean, they want a payday. Who knows if any of them have really taken off? I mean, Maggie Smith's been working for 100 years, but all the—I mean, just who knows if they're—you know—they're like, "Well, we got to get paid, and you want us to come back." Like, I'm sure they negotiate decent deals. We'll see how that continues to do, but very successful thus far. Hustlers, the movie from a few weeks ago, 11.6 million. 31% drop, so that one's still carrying on the word of mouth, and you can go listen to that review. But $80.7 million domestic. I know that we had some fans in the League of Show Shares that loved the movie, and they posted some info, and apparently J-Lo took like 2 months to prepare. So she's
cool.
She, you know,
it shows.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like,
I mean, not like her skills, not even just. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah. I don't like, no comment necessary.
Wow. This is truly a milestone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, she was amazing in the role. I don't know, I mean, if the Oscar buzz, if it's worthy of all that talk. But, I mean, she may be up there and, you know, and she's had quite the career. So,
would you put her as actress or supporting actress?
Well, I think they're going to put her as supporting for a better chance.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's kind of
Constance Wu. They're co-leads in the movie, I think Constance Wu is definitely the main protagonist. Okay. But, yeah, I think that supporting would be the smartest play from the studio. But anyway, so that's about 80.
If her ego can handle it.
That's the question,
But they're over $80 million worldwide on that one on a $20 million budget. So four times the budget, and it's still doing pretty strong box office here. So
A-Rod's in her ear and be like, no, baby. Yeah. You're the best actress.
Moving on to number four, another movie that we did last week, one of the two from our newest reviews, $10.2 million is a 46% drop. That one's up to $35 million domestic, and you can go listen to all our ramblings about Ad Astra.
So. Oh, I was like, oh, no, the other one.
What's that?
Rambo.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't talk about that one. No. But no, Ad Astra has made over $25 million before the totals are in.
I got to tell you, I just watched an interview. Is it Kevin McCarthy? Is that the guy that got Affleck and Kevin Smith back together?
Oh, I don't know.
So, I wish I could remember. But he does an interview with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
It's on
his
Instagram.
Oh, like the interviewer that asked him, that like got out to Ben Affleck.
Yes.
And was like, oh, Kevin Smith said he wants to.
Yes.
Okay.
So he does an interview with Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how an interviewer, when he strikes a certain chord with an actor and like the actor opens up and you get like that real person. And they just start talking about cinematography and things in movies. And you can watch Brad Pitt like start to engage in a conversation. It was nuts. Like it's a great interview. I wish I could remember his name.
Yeah.
But it's on his Instagram if you can find it. It's a very interesting look into Brad Pitt's creative process.
Yeah. Because he is like a producer on the movie too, right? He's not just starring it, but I mean, I think he was heavily involved in getting that made.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
But yeah, it was really, man, I wish I could remember that guy's name, but it was really interesting
to
watch them talk about like Fincher and
That's
Roger
always,
Deakins and things like watching Brad Pitt kind of geek out about stuff like that.
That's cool when you can do that because we've talked about in the past press junkets, and you know, these actors are getting asked the same questions over and over and over. And so a lot of times they're disengaged. I mean, go look at Bill Hader doing press for It too. And it's like him
he's
just
not
looking
engaged
around.
At all.
Yeah, it's terrible. So, but you know, when Jason Reitman came to town and I interviewed him, I could tell that I was in towards the end of the interviews and like, you know, he was probably getting asked the same crap. What's it like working with George Clooney? You know, the same stuff over and over. And I asked him one question that you could tell was that turning point that he had never been asked before, and so he started thinking about it, and you could see him start to engage after that. So it's always cool when you can do that because these guys are out for weeks and weeks, and you know, it's just human nature.
I
like,
feel like there might be an interview on Real Spoilers that may have some questions like that coming up this week.
Hope so.
Yeah,
so
you and me both.
Yeah, so so check the feed for some specialty content.
We'll tell you at the end of this episode what it could be.
Okay.
Teaser.
Yeah.
A tease for the tease.
That's right.
So anyway, so that's Ad Astra. We'll see what that one also continues to do. But speaking of it, Chapter 2, another $10 million is a 41% drop for that one. $193.5 million. I mean, that one's plugging right along.
Yeah.
$211 million overseas. So it's up over $400 million. And Halloween's still a month away. So yeah. I mean, yeah, the movie's doing great. It didn't do quite as much as I had expected it to make,
right?
But I think still the legs that it has, like, it's going to be around making money for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Good for it. But Rambo, one of our other movies from last week, 8.1 million, a 57% drop. That one's up at 32 million domestic. Good Boys?
Tom, you got anything you want to say about Rambo?
What's its box office doing in Mexico?
I don't have those numbers. So I'll just...
How many pesos is this thing making? I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's made $879,000 in Mexico.
Those are just the Americans that are going
right.
to see
it's expats. Everybody's leaving their all-inclusive resort to go
oh,
see
man,
it.
Oh, man, I got to go see that new Stallone flick.
I would love to look that up, though, what the response is. Like, almost $1 million of box office in Mexico. Like, what are they thinking when they see a movie?
I think
like
they
this?
See yeah. Stallone.
I think they just love the character, and yeah. they're gonna
walk out like, God damn it!
I just would love to understand the mindset a little yeah. bit more, though, of that. But coming in at number seven is Judy, the movie that we didn't review because we were thinking of Joe.
Yes,
we decided to give Joe a break.
Oh, thank you.
But opening limited release this weekend is Judy, starring Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland, of course, $3 million.
Anybody see it?
No.
Oh, okay. No. I didn't know if it's up. Okay.
Not yet until we have to review it.
Son of a bitch.
Give you a couple more weeks here to where you can go see it with your Stubbs membership yeah. or whatever. Yeah. But, anyway, so we'll see what that one does. And I mean, I'm sure it's going to go wide release here before too long, but only at a couple theaters in our town right now. Coming in at number eight, Good Boys. Week seven. I mean, that's surprising. With a 19% drop, still making $2.1 million. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
In week seven. I did not expect that from this one. So people still turning up for it. Over $80 million domestic and over 20 foreign. So it's a, you know, 100 plus million dollar movie on a $20 million budget.
That's pretty awesome.
Huge success for that. I mean, five times the budget on a little comedy like that. So. Good for it, and you can go listen to that episode as well. Rounding out the top 10 here, number 9, Angel Has Fallen. Literally probably Joe's favorite movie of the year. I don't even know if I'm joking
no,
at this
you're,
point.
No, you're joking.
$1.6 million on that one, so it's up approaching $70 million domestic. And finally, number 10, The Lion King.
Golly.
As it's getting ready to release on home video here before too long, $1.6 million in week 11. Is only a 40% drop. So over $540 million domestic, overseas, approaching $1.1 billion. So, yeah, it's making money.
Good for it.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, Lion King.
Oh, Lion
it
King.
It was
right.
like four
it,
movies.
That's, yeah, that's true. And good yeah. for it.
Good for it also. Yeah. But did you just before we get out, did you see the pictures of Brandon Routh?
Yeah.
Rocking the Kingdom Come Superman suit. I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
News
Let's
was...
I know, but I well, like yeah. we moved past it before.
You
I,
missed your
you,
window.
Yeah, you can't just
you missed your
you,
window.
You went from the...
No, you missed your
there
window.
There was no tangent here. You went from it
yeah.
to...
Yeah.
Well,
this is union.
It was
we're,
great.
Yeah.
I'm happy. It looked good.
We're going to have to pay the employees overtime. So
it wasn't those weird wonky CW suits.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Real quick, my own tangent. Oh, yeah. You just made me think of it. What? Just real quick, what is your favorite movie so far? Year.
Oh man, it might be Avengers.
Okay,
that's yeah, it's either way. It's either Avengers or Ready or Not.
Okay,
yeah,
Kevin,
that's a really tough question. I mean, I don't even have one.
Okay.
How about you?
Booksmart.
Oh damn,
that's
good call.
That's definitely one of the best. Yeah. That's
I mean,
among my favorites.
I will say it's the only movie that's come out this year so far that I bought when it came out to VOD.
Yeah.
You know, I was like $10. You got me
done.
Yeah. Yeah, that one came out to own at $10.
Yeah,
I think
and
that's
I, normally
move.
I wait for things to go on sale, and I was like, you know what, I like this movie. I'm giving you my $10.
Yeah, but it came out 50% on sale, basically, because
right.
movies come out at $20, and yeah. this was just as much of a great film.
Oh my
as,
god!
I mean, $20 movies that come out all the time.
Yeah,
and I mean the fact that they released it not on sale at $9.99. I'm like, that's
yeah.
what a smart play on a
right.
art house type movie. It's like,
yeah.
don't put it at $20, and then not that many people check it out. Just let them
right.
own it for $10. They're not going to rent it for $7 when it's $10 to own.
Totally,
make that $3.
Yeah,
and spread the word.
Totally.
So yeah. That's up there. I don't know what my favorite would be. I think I'm waiting for some movies that are coming out very soon.
Oh, that's why I said so far. Like, you can change your mind.
Oh, totally.
No one's going to come arrest you.
I don't know, though. I just, yeah. I mean, I think Avengers, the culmination of that whole thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was really good.
That's
yeah.
That's probably up there so far. So
I'm pretty excited about The Irishman.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about what I was going to say about the next thing, but The Irishman's kind of the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Cool.
Gotcha. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table. Everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS 21. Also, you may see a special interview that I did with the dudes from Radio Silence. And those are the guys that wrote and created Ready or Not. So the directors, the writers, I sat down with them sort of like what's over Skype. So we were all sitting down just in different spots.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we talk about there might be there was some extra stuff that they didn't get to shoot. You know, just kind of a real quick conversation with those guys. And that should be on the feed somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either before this or in the middle of this or somewhere in there.
Awesome.
So yeah, check that out.
I'm just going to put it in the middle of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully you found it. Oh, did I not do my... Okay, no, yeah, I'm so thrown off at this point.
Know.
We've had two tangents post our stuff. This is confusing. This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join our group, the League of Show Sharers, and actually share an episode and become a real League of Show Sharer members. And also, don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Goober. So, what are some of those other ones?
Goober. Yeah, Spreaker.
Spreaker.
Yeah.
Spreaker just sounds so dirty.
So does Goober.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, that's all that stuff. So thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Abominable. Until then, you've been warned.
I just want to escape. Someday, I will see the world. There are people looking for you.
We have to go.
I don't know where you came from, but we don't belong here.
Wow. You can do magic?
Take him down.
I promise to take care of him.
When Yi sets her mind on something, nothing is impossible.
Abominable. Rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.